For eternity, because he's going to stand by me until I get down here, and then he's going to be in front of me while I sit and worship at his feet. I'm going to tell you what, I'm looking forward to that time when it's going to be for eternity. He's going to stand by me when the place seems dark and I cannot see. I know my Lord. Sing a second
word. I remember hearing Brother Ronnie Jones tell about his dad's homegoing, and some of you heard him, maybe even were in a camp meeting a few years ago when he was preaching on it. Began to talk about how bad off he'd gotten and how that he began to get to the place where he didn't even, maybe even know everybody back well. And in and out and in a lot of pain and a lot of medication and whatever else. And then the time came where he knew he was going home. And he told his family that he wouldn't be here long. He said, boys, I'm going to be leaving out soon. And Brother Ronnie said he and his brother tried to kind of talk him into not acting like that, not thinking that way, that everything was going to be all right. And he said, no, I know better. We'll be leaving out soon, but said, y'all just try to live for Jesus and stick with the right of way and stay by the stuff. And had his last words with his family and went off to sleep and laid back and rested for a while. And then just kind of out of his sleep all at once, raised up in the bed, looked down at the foot of the bed and pointed down at the foot of the bed. I mean, just with a real unusual look on his face, and then pointed back at himself, rolled his eyes back, and laid back on his bed and went out of this world to meet the Lord. Brother Jones said, I don't know exactly what it was he was doing, but said, as I began to pray and ask God for some help, he said, I believe what the Lord's teaching me is doing, that he put some angels down at the foot of the bed and raised up and looked down there, pointed at him and said, are you fellows here for me? And in peace, he just raised his head back and went home to be with the Lord. I tell you, there'll come a time when we'll be separated from family and from friends and from neighbors, and there'll come a place where the preacher can't go any further with you. And where mom and dad can't go any further, son and daughter, brothers and sisters. But I'm glad even at that time when nobody else can stand by you, that the Lord will stand by your side. Even at the time of death, he's going to stand by me.
Amen. Bless his name. When I come to Genesis chapter 18, and we'll begin with verse number 1 in the scripture there tonight. And I do need your prayers. I ask sincerely and humbly for your prayers tonight that the Lord would help us. Genesis 18, verse number 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Yes. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree.
Yes.
I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. We'll leave off reading there tonight. Would you join us, and let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, thank you for the privilege to pray. Thank you for the prayers that's already been prayed tonight. Everything that's been done to worship you, Lord, I appreciate every song, testimony. And Lord, I thank you tonight for the Word of God that you've blessed us to read from. I thank you that you have preserved it to our generation. I thank you that you've let us have a copy of it tonight. I thank you, dear Lord, that our nation was founded on it. And I thank you, dear Lord, that it is the foundation of our Christian faith tonight. Lord, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. I appreciate tonight the privilege to be here and the nights that have passed and the liberty that we've enjoyed. But this is another night, another congregation, and I need fresh oil. I'm a leaky vessel. I pray you'd fill me again. Lord, would you hide me in the cross? Would you have mercy upon me? I beg for it tonight. I plead for mercy. I pray for mercy upon these dear people that I'm to preach to tonight.
Yes.
Oh, God, give us ear and ears, receptive hearts and obedient spirits, that we might receive the engrafted word. Oh,
yes.
God, you said whereby is able to save your souls tonight. Lord, I pray tonight you'd give us, Lord, that we need. And I pray, Lord, tonight we'd be obedient to what you speak to us about tonight. Lord, have your way in each of our lives. Deal with sinners. Stir up the saints. Have your way among us. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Above everything that's done tonight, would you get glory to your worthy name. And what you do for us, and in us and through us, we'll thank and we'll praise you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing tonight. I want to look at this text tonight, and if I can, by the Lord's help, preach tonight on this time in Abraham's life as a type of salvation. A type of salvation. Those things that transpired between the Lord and Abraham as a type of salvation between the sovereign and the sinner tonight. First of all, notice the Bible said in verse 1, And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. The Lord came to where Abraham dwelt. Abraham's been dwelling in the plains of Mamre ever since he and Lot were separated, and Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom.
Yes,
and Abraham walked in the breadth and the length of the land,
right,
and came back and dwelt in the plains of Mamre. The plains of Mamre was the description that I got the best of was it's not just a flat level land, nor was it just mountains, but it was made of both hills and valleys, both plains, level ground, and mountainous regions. And that's where Abraham dwelt. And that's where the Lord appeared unto him. as he sat in his tent door. I want to say to you, friend, that's exactly where you and I live tonight, is in a world that, my friend, is not always full of joy, not always full of sorrow, not always mountaintop experience, not always the valleys deep, but it's both tonight. And that's where the Lord came unto Abraham. The Bible tells us that this is not the first time that the Lord appeared unto Abraham. But it is the first time that he walked along the road and that he walked by the tent, my friend, that he came where Abraham dwelled. Amen. Amen. In chapter 17 and verse 1, the Lord appeared to him. Amen. That is right. Amen. The Bible said in chapter 12 and verse 7, the Lord appeared to him. But not like this, my friend, for he walked where Abraham walked. He dwelt where Abraham dwelt. He lived where Abraham lived. Amen. And in the salvation of the sinner, what made it possible was that God came where we is at. Amen. Jesus Christ appeared, my friend, many times in the Old Testament before he was born in Bethlehem in that stable. Amen. He did. Those are called Christophanies. Are the appearances of Christ. Amen. I believe that's him in the burning bush when Moses turned aside to see what the sight was. Amen. I believe that's the man that wrestled with Jacob all night. Is the pre-incarnate or the pre-existent Christ. Amen. I believe that's him. I believe that's him with a sword drawn that Joshua seen by Jericho. Oh yeah, surely that was him in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew boys as they were cast in. He appeared unto man many different times. But oh, when he came out of Bethlehem, that was a different appearance. That was altogether quite different than the other times that he came to man. That was the incarnation. The Bible said without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. John 1:14 said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The angel said, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which is by interpretation, God with us. Amen. I like that. Don't you tonight? I'm glad he appeared. Oh yes, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned it in the flesh. He humbled himself, hey God, and was found in fashion as a man. Amen. Aren't you glad of that tonight? I am. Oh yes. And so he came where we were at. Hebrews said he appeared once, my friend, at the end of the world, and by the sacrifice of himself hath put away sin forever. Amen. There would be no hope for Abraham, and there'd be no hope for me and you tonight had he not appeared, had he not come, had he not walked down the corridor of time and embosomed himself in the womb of the virgin and was born into this world. I know it don't stop at the birth. I know you can't stop at the cradle, at the manger, and just worship there. Hey God, I know there had to be some more of his life, but I want to tell you, hey God, I'm glad he took not on him, my friend, the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. I'm glad that he was made partakers of the same, what? Flesh and blood. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad he came where we is at. And had he not appeared, we could never go where he's at tonight. Amen. The gulf was too great for man to span. We could never reach, my friend, the pinnacle. We could never grasp, my friend, perfection. We could never span the gulf that separated the human family and the fallen sons of Adam.
from a holy God. But when we couldn't get there, he came where we was at. Hallelujah. And walked among us. And bare our sin and our iniquity. Amen. Oh yeah. And so he came where Abraham dwelt. He appeared to him. Amen. And when Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw him, hey God, there's some things that took place that I believe are a type of the sinner's salvation tonight. First of all, notice the submission. The submission tonight of Abraham. Amen. The Bible said when he saw the Lord by the tent, he ran to meet him. He bowed himself to him. And the Bible said, he said, pass not away from thy servant. Are you listening to me tonight? Hey, God, this showed his submission unto the Lord. I want to tell you tonight, before any sinner can be saved, there must be submission on their part unto a holy God. Not just surrender, but submission. Amen. Voluntary, willingly. Hey, God, submitting themselves unto God and giving over to him. Those three acts that he did approve his submission. He first said, Lord, pass not away from thy servant.
Amen.
He said, you've come to me in a way and in a fashion and a form that I've never seen before. All the other times you appeared, you just came and then you were gone. But he said, stay with me. Hallelujah. Pass not away from thy servant. Do any of y'all remember the day, the hour, the night, whatever it was that you said, all right, Lord, don't pass my, don't go on down the road. Hey, God, you'd been resisting him. Maybe you'd rejected him. Maybe you'd refused him access and entrance into your heart. Amen. And maybe you'd refused him the rightful place as Lord of your life. But do you remember that night, that day that you give up and you submitted and you said, don't go on by. Hey, God, don't leave. Stay with thy servant. Hey, God, pass not away. I remember it well. I remember leaving the church refusing to heed his call and to follow his voice and obey his spirit. But I also remember that night when, my God, I just folded myself up and handed myself over to him and said, here I am. Stay with me. Go home with me. Don't pass away tonight. I'm not refusing you no more. Whatever you want, abide with me. And that's exactly what it is. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, that saying, pass not away, showed his submission. Secondly, when he bowed himself to the ground, showed his submission.
That's right.
That Eastern and Middle Eastern culture, thank God, when they bow to the ground, that shows, my friend, their submission to that person they're bowing to.
Right.
That shows that they're the servant, he's the Lord. Amen. That shows, hey God, that whatever he wants to do, hey God, with them, they are subject, hey God, and yielded to that person. Amen. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, I told him I'd do anything if he'd save me. That's exactly the position you had to get to. Of course, he didn't save you because you said, I'll do anything, because you hadn't done everything that you said he'd do, that you'd do. And if you're saved on your word, thank God, my friend, you'd be saved and lost and saved and lost. But he saves it on his word. But you have to get willing to do anything and to bow to him and say, Lord, whatever and whenever and however. Amen. And that showed Abraham's submission. Amen. Not only that, but the fact that he ran to meet him from the tent door. Here's Abraham dwelling in Mamre. He's living by that patriarchal highway. There are other travelers that pass by that way. Thank God. Amen. But now here's the Lord. This is different than any traveler that has ever come by that way. Abraham sitting in the tent door had to stay cool. It is the heat of the day. But he's not just sitting in the tent door to stay cool. He's guarding his possessions. He's watching over what's his. Thank God. His most valuable possessions are inside the tent. And he don't want somebody passing by the road. Thank God, him coming in and taking what he's got. So he's sitting in the tent door. But when the Lord passed by, when the Lord revealed himself, when the Lord appeared, he walked away, not just walked, but ran from the tent door and said, all of that is in your hands now. I got all of my possessions, all of my future plans. I got and that I provided for, you give it anyhow. Do with it what you will. I'm tired of guarding it. It's yours now. If you've got me, you've got everything that goes with me. Hey God, so I'm going to quit guarding it and trying to hoard over it. You, thank God, take care of it, because I'm bowing to you and I'm following you from now on. Hey God, and that's what he wants tonight, is submission. And oh, he demands submission out of every sinner tonight. But when the sinner will submit, the Lord can do a work in your life tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So we find his submission in those three acts of bowing and asking him not to pass away, and also from leaving the tent door and letting God run his life instead of him running his life. Secondly tonight, notice his sanctification or his cleansing tonight. Don't get too nervous. I'm not preaching on practical sanctification tonight, just positional sanctification. Amen. There is positional sanctification. We are cleansed. We are set apart. Amen. Oh yeah, the sprinkling of the blood cleanses, sets us apart. That is positional sanctification. There is practical sanctification as we go through this world. Amen. A lot of folks like that positional sanctification, but they don't enjoy practical sanctification. But it's as much the Bible as positional. It's just not my turn to preach it tonight. So let me talk to you about his cleansing. Hey, he submitted to God. Now he is being sanctified. Hey God, or he's being cleansed. Hey God, he's being forgiven. Hey God, he's being washed.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what every sinner's got to have. A washing, a cleansing, a renewing. Amen. The Bible calls it regeneration. Jesus said it's being born again. Amen. Hallelujah. And you get that by submitting to that one that's appeared to you. Not just the one that came 2,000 years ago. Hey God, and gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. But that one that comes to you in the person of the Holy Ghost and reveals, hey God, that he's not just the Savior of the world, but that he's your Savior. Amen. And that you've got to trust him by faith. Amen. I believe that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world ever since I was big enough to start believing anything. Hallelujah. I accepted that truth. I believed that truth. I'd have fought for that truth. But it wasn't till, hey God, that blessed night, hey God, that the Holy Spirit took the Word of God and shined the light into my soul. Hey God, that I can say as Paul, hey God, he loved me. Hey God, and gave himself for me. He didn't just become grandma's savior that night, or mom and dad's savior. Hey God, or the preacher's savior, or the savior of the world. Hey God, I took him as my savior that night. Amen.
Amen.
And was cleansed. Notice his sanctification. It's in verse number 4. He said, little water, I pray you be fetched, and wash your feet.
Right.
And so Abraham got water and washed the feet of the Lord. And when he washed the feet of the Lord, he was sanctified. Not the Lord, but Abraham. Isn't that amazing? He washes the Lord's feet, but he's the one that gets cleansed. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. Amen. Oh, and why is he washing his feet? Because they picked up the dust of the earth.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right, right.
Hallelujah. Now understand that Christ, amen, was made sin for us, but never was a sinner.
That's right. Amen.
That he dwelt where we was and was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Had to come in a body like we was in, amen.
Right.
But overcome the world.
That's right.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Was impeccable in his character and never sinned, neither was guile found in his mouth.
Right.
But Abraham recognized when he looked at those feet that was dirty, hey God, that they would not have been dirty had he not come where Abraham dwelt.
Amen.
And when the sinner realizes that the Savior went to Calvary and that God made him to be sin and that he bare our sins, that he's innocent of himself, but the reason God judged him as a sinner and laid the full stroke of his wrath upon him was for our sakes and because of us. And Abraham said, I want to wash your feet. Hey, thank God, cause you'd have never had the dust of memory had you not come where I was at, had you not walked where I walked, had you not lived where I lived. Hallelujah. And I'm sorry you had to come where I was at. Hey, God, cause I was so low down. Hey, God, and filth. But thank God you came and I repent and I'm sorry. And that turned into Abraham's sanctification.
Sure did.
Amen.
Amen.
And the New Testament holds it true in Luke 7. Because a woman washes Jesus' feet.
Right.
And she leaves cleansed.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Forgiven. Sanctified.
Right.
That's right. Hey. Amen.
Yes, sir.
She washes the Lord's feet in Simon the Pharisee's house. Amen. Simon knows, or thinks he knows, that this man's not a true prophet, or he wouldn't let that woman touch him like he she did. Amen. But the Lord said, I got somewhat to say to you. He said, say on. He said, you've not washed my feet since I've been here. You haven't dried them. You hadn't anointed them with ointment. You hadn't kissed them. But that's all this woman's done since I've been here. And Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven her.
Amen.
She washed his feet and she left clean.
Amen.
Woo! Yes. When the sinner will bow at the feet of the Savior and in repentance with a broken heart and a contrite spirit will admit who they are, I God, and plead for mercy, I God, they can leave cleansed, they can leave sanctified, they can leave forgiven.
Hallelujah.
Are you hearing me tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bless his name.
Yes, it's right, preacher.
And the woman there left cleansed and never repeated nobody's prayer. And never followed a Roman road. Never signed anybody's card. Matter of fact, never said nothing. Verbally. Amen. Hallelujah. But her heart was broken. And tears are a language that God understands.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
By the way, how did she wash his feet with her tears? Amen. Wear you a pair of sandals, get out on the dusty road, and then come in and let somebody cry enough to get your feet clean. That's a lot of tears.
Yes, sir. Right.
Amen. Do you think she had that many tears? Probably not all at that one time. Not all coming out of her out of her eyes. That's a bunch of tears. Amen. I got a feeling she brought some bottles. As David said, put my tears in your bottle. They're in your book. And all houses in those days had tear bottles. Hey, and when they would cry, thank God, instead of just letting them fall off their face, they'd grab up that tear bottle, especially if they don't remember, thank God, those tears, and they'd cry into those tear bottles and keep those tears in the bottle. Hallelujah. Amen. Here's a woman that's a known sinner in the city. Here's my feeling on it tonight. I got a feeling there's a lot of nights and she went to a lonely bed and thought, Lord, what a miserable day and what an ugly life. A lot of mornings she woke up and remembered the night before and said, what an ugly life, and I sure wish I could have something different. Hallelujah. Amen. And she'd grab that bottle and cry into it. Woo, bless his name. And that day when she heard he's eating supper at Simon the Pharisee's house, she gathered her bottles together and said, for one time, I'm going to cry over a man and cry before a man that can help me. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hey, bless his name. And she brought those bottles and stood behind it and poured them out. All the regret, all the sorrow, all the misery that she had had all of her life, poured them out and wept, thank God, and got his feet clean. And when she washed his feet, he washed her heart, and she left forgiven, and she left sanctified. Hey, thank God. I'm talking about tonight. There is cleansing and sanctification if the sinner will bow and in repentance wash the feet of the Savior. He can or she can leave cleansed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There's his submission. First three verses. There's his sanctification in verse 4. Notice his service in verse 5. I'll fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts. After that you shall pass on. For therefore you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. He said, I just want to serve you because I appreciate you coming by.
Amen.
The servant.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. For therefore you come to your servant, so I'm going to serve you.
Right.
You didn't serve God to get saved. Couldn't serve God to stay saved. Because it's not by works that man could do. Amen. As a matter of fact, you really couldn't serve him acceptably unless you had submitted and were sanctified or washed or cleansed. If you tried to do something to merit salvation, that'd be religion. What you do for God. Salvation's what God does for man. Religion's what man does for God. Amen. And that's called in the New Testament dead works. Dead works. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. You cannot serve acceptably unless you've submitted and then been sanctified. But once you've been put in the family, thank God. Once he reckoned your body to be dead, thank God. Our rules are dead, thank God. You then can turn around and present that body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
And so Abraham starts serving. Amen. Hallelujah. He serves by saying, I'll fetch you a morsel of bread. Hallelujah. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Hallelujah. Oh, and we ought to want to serve him tonight. And we should serve him. In verse 2, he runs from the tent door to meet him or to greet him. Amen. But oh, thank God, the Bible said in verse number 6, and he hastened into the tent. Amen. Verse 7 said, he ran unto the herd. Amen. Thank God. Verse 7 said, he encouraged the young man whom he gave the calf to help. salvation and dress it. Some of us run to Him for salvation and forgiveness, but we're mighty slow when it comes to service. But if we've run to Him, I thank God for our refuge and our salvation. We ought to run to Him for service. We ought to hasten to serve Him tonight. And what we do, we ought to do it quicker tonight. Work while it's day, the night comes when no man can work. Do what you're going to do.
Yes, sir.
Serve Him. He ought to be served.
Yes,
if He's your Savior, He's well, should well be the one that you serve.
Yeah.
So here's His submission, His sanctification, His service. Can we look at His sacrifice? Verse 5, He said, I'll give you a morsel of bread, or I'll fetch you a morsel of bread. Do as thou hast said. He hastens back to the tent and tells Sarah to make quickly 3 measures of fine meal and eat it and make cakes upon the hearth.
Yeah.
While she's making the morsel of bread, he says, you know what? They said I could serve them a morsel of bread, but that ain't near enough. They'll accept that. And that's reasonable service. But he said, I want to show my appreciation a little more than that. So he said, I think I'll just give him a little more then. So he runs to the herd. Has the young man, I ain't got to dress the calf that he picks out. And when he comes back in verse number 8, he's got butter. He's got milk. Amen. He's got the calf that's dressed. Hey, oh yeah. He's got the bread too. Thank God. And the Lord must have said, I thought it's a morsel of bread. He said, well, I got to thinking about it. And I decided that though that was acceptable service and that was the duty of a servant, I wanted to go beyond that and sacrifice to you.
Amen.
And so I brought all of this other. Whoa. In a church generation who sees how little they can get by with and still have favor with God.
Amen. Amen. Preach on, preacher.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can I do this and still be in fellowship? Amen. Oh yeah. Can I not do this and yet still have God's favor? Abraham said, forget all of that. Hey God, I'm not worthy that he come by where I dwell and that he would take time to come by his servant. And I'm not just going to bring out a morsel of bread, 3 measures of flour. Hey God, to serve him with. I want to show him how much I appreciate him. So I'm just going to give him a little more. I'm going to sacrifice.
Hallelujah. Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Your duty might be what you buy for your wife on Valentine's or for Christmas or for the anniversary or for her birthday. But thank God if you really just want to show love, thank God one day out in the middle of the year when it ain't no special day and for no special reason, but just cause you want her to know that you appreciate the fact that she married you and birthed your children and stayed with you and put up with you and shared your sorrow and grief and is walking beside you, you just bring something in and say, honey, this is because I love you. That sacrifice tonight, we need to do more than serve. We need to make a sacrifice unto the Lord tonight.
Yes, sir.
Amen. His submission, his sanctification, his service, his sacrifice. Can we notice his standing? Verse number 8. He took buttermilk, the calf which he dressed, and set it before them and stood by them under the tree. Hallelujah. His standing. Verse 1 opens up. He's sitting in the tent door. But verse 8 closes. He's standing by them under the tree. His position has changed. Hallelujah. He went from an earthly position to a heavenly position. Amen. Oh, amen. He went out of guarding what was carnal. Woo! To standing by them and enjoying what was spiritual. Is anybody listening to this preacher tonight? Hallelujah. Where does that standing take place? What makes a difference? What makes a change? The tree. Hallelujah. And you can't stand in a right position. You can't be right with God. God won't accept you unless it's by and through the cross. You're not going to heaven because you preach, because you sing in the choir, because you play a piano, or sing specials, or sit on the front page, or say amen. Ain't got to study your Sunday school lesson, or teach a class, or a member of a church. Hey, because you've quit a few bad habits and picked up some good ones, you'll only go because of the cross and what Christ accomplished there. And the way of the cross leads home. God forbid I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby I am crucified to the world and the world is crucified to me. That puts you in right standing.
Amen.
It is the cross.
Amen.
And we can only stand with Him in fellowship and communion and thank God justified under the tree.
That's right. Yes,
sir. Here's His submission. Here's His sanctification, His service, His sacrifice, His standing. Would you notice His satisfaction? And they did eat. Hallelujah. That's His satisfaction. Oh, bless His name. Hallelujah. He brought what He wanted them to eat. But when He gave it, the Lord turned around and said, we'll share it with you. He brought it as sacrifice. But it became His sanctification. You say sacrifice costs too much. It empties me out. Yeah, but when it does, hey God, He'll fill you with the satisfaction. And the world says get more and gather it in and you'll be satisfied, but they never are.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Marilyn Monroe wasn't satisfied. Elvis Presley wasn't satisfied. Michael Jackson wasn't satisfied. Can you imagine how multiplied millions of dollars and prestige and popularity this folks had, but it never satisfied. They kept looking for it in a pill. They got in a drink. They got in another shot of dope. Something another. Yeah. Some means of perversion. But oh, when the sinner ain't got in the saint, make sacrifice and empty themselves out to a holy God, He turns around and floods and fills our soul with satisfaction. Hallelujah.
Hey.
Amen. Ain't that Revelation 3:20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and he will sup him and he'll sup with me.
Amen.
I'll eat what you got and you'll eat what I got. I'll take your cup and then I'll give you mine. Oh, bless His name. And I'm glad of the day He took my cup and then give me back His in place. And that's what satisfies me. Oh, bless His name. I had nothing but cup of sin, sorrow. But oh, He gave me that cup of satisfaction. Amen. Here's His submission. Here's His sanctification, His service, His sacrifice, His standing, His satisfaction. Notice in verse number 4, He said to the Lord, I'll wash your feet and you rest under the tree. And the Lord hadn't rested in the book of Genesis except chapter 2. And He rested in Genesis 2 because in 6 days He created the earth. And on the 7th day He rested. Because He's tired? No, because there wasn't nothing else to do. It is complete. That's the only time He rests, when it's complete. Abraham said, would you rest under the tree? He said, I'll rest under the tree. Jesus said, it's finished. It's not another lamb to be offered. God's not looking for anything else. There's no pilgrim journey to be made. Hallelujah. There's no mountain to climb. There's no Mecca how to try to reach to. Hey, hallelujah. What God is looking for, He found it in His Son. Hey, God, He saw the travail of His soul and He was satisfied. And that's enough. Hallelujah. Hey, nothing else will be done. No more sacrifice to be made. Hey, God, hallelujah. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hey, hey, God, I believe that tonight.
Yes, right.
And it's finished.
Yes, it's right, Richard.
Have you submitted? Are you sanctified? Are you serving? Are you making sacrifice tonight?
Thank you, Lord.
Have you realized your standing? Boy, I don't want to make you happy when you realize what your standing is. Amen. My pilgrimage changes, but not my standing. My situation changes, but not my standing. Amen. And that's what brings me satisfaction. In a world that's unsatisfied, you can be satisfied. I didn't read it, but can I leave you one more thing and I'm through? Amen. Verse 22, the Bible said, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. In verse 8, he stood by them under the tree. He's in fellowship. He's in communion.
Right.
He's being satisfied as he eats with them. He's in a right place. And the tree made it possible.
Yeah.
Not the tent door, the tree.
Right.
Not the possessions. Amen. Yeah. Not worldly goods, but what the tree, what God did.
Yeah.
But now he's standing yet before the Lord in verse 22. The Bible said the two men have turned toward Sodom, the two angels. But Abraham stands yet before the Lord, and he's standing now before the Lord in supplication. For the Lord has told him what's going to happen at Sodom.
Right.
He's going to destroy it.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen. That's right. Chapter 18 is a picture of the Lord's coming the first time. He came, He appeared once in the end of the world. Then the promise child was born of that woman. That looked like was beyond childbearing. Hallelujah. And we which were not a people are now become the people of God. Which have not obtained mercy have now obtained mercy.
Amen.
And the next thing will be destruction.
Yes, sir. Right.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Right.
That is right. So here the Lord tells him what he's going to do. And Abraham says, shall not the judge of the earth do right? Are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? And he ask the Lord if you'll spare the city. Gets down to 10's sake. And the Lord said, I'll spare it for 10's sake. And then Abraham walks away. Goes to sleep. Gets up the next morning in chapter 19. And according to verse 27. Goes to the place where he stood before the Lord. Where he made supplication. To see if God has spared Sodom. And Gomorrah. As he asked him to do. As he prayed for him to do. As he entreated or intercessed for him to do. But when he looks up towards Sodom, the Bible said all the land of the plain was smoke as the smoke of a furnace.
Yes.
And Abraham said, God must not have heard my prayer. My supplication must have been in vain, but it wasn't in vain.
No.
Because verse 29 says, but God remembered Abraham.
Amen.
And sent Lot out of the overthrow.
He
couldn't answer Abraham's prayer like Abraham prayed it. Because it wouldn't seem righteous.
That's right.
But he did hearken to his voice.
Yes, sir. Right.
And he remembered him standing before him.
That's right.
Sometimes we get angry at God because he doesn't answer our prayer like we prayed it. But we may not have prayed it where he can answer it in that form.
Amen.
But he is listening to us.
Amen.
And he will remember us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Now it looks like in the text, as far as I'm concerned, Genesis 19... it looks like to me that Abraham never knows that God answered his prayer. It looks like to me that Abraham never knows that Lot has been spared. Because when he gets up and stands, goes to that place where he stood before the Lord in supplication, all he sees is smoke as the smoke of a furnace.
Yes, sir.
So he says, judgment, wrath, that's all I see.
Right.
But he can't see through the smoke.
Sure.
He can't see on the other side.
Amen.
That there's a man and two girls coming out of Sodom. and headed for a place of safety. Are y'all hearing me tonight?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Some prayers God can't answer because of the way you prayed them. But He will answer.
Amen.
As He can. And He did remember Abraham and sent Lot out of overthrow. By the way, some prayers you'll never see that they've been answered.
You're right.
As far as you can see, from your vantage point, it was just destruction.
Right.
Instead of deliverance.
Amen.
But from
right.
God's vantage point, it may be deliverance. Are y'all hearing me?
Amen.
So what are we to do, preacher? Pray on.
You're right.
Stand in supplication.
Right. Yeah.
The song that when you don't feel like praying, just pray. When it seems like there's no hope, just pray. Hallelujah. You stood before Him in communion and fellowship, now stand before Him in supplication. Hallelujah. You can do that because we've been made kings and priests unto our God by that sanctification, that salvation that is wrought in our heart. Do you need to pray tonight? If you're here as a sinner, would you submit tonight? Would you bow at His feet and wash His feet with your tears of repentance tonight? It'll turn to your sanctification if you'll do so tonight. Will you serve Him tonight? You run to Him to be saved. Are you running to serve Him tonight? Are you hiding from Him? Are you dilatory about service? Have you made sacrifice? Oh, you've served. You've done what the servant was required to do, but what profit is that? You're a sacrifice to Him tonight.
Amen.
Do you realize your standing? Are you, thank God, having satisfaction with Him tonight? Amen.
Amen.
There is such a thing as fullness of joy.
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing me tonight?
Amen.
There is such a thing as having peace with God.
Right.
But having no peace from God.
Right.
But you ought to have peace from Him tonight if you got peace with Him.
Right.
It's terrible to live in a world, have peace with God, and don't have any peace from God. But right. Looking around the world, you ought to sit down at the table and eat with Him tonight.
Amen.
And let Him satisfy you.
Yeah.
And give you His peace. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all by all means tonight, we ought to stand before Him in supplication tonight.
Yes.
And pray for that lot. And pray for that individual.
Yes.
That it seems like their utter destruction is bound upon them. And we may not ever see it. Or we may not ever understand it. But God will remember our prayer and our intercession. Everybody stand, please.
Amen.
Altar's open to you if you need to come. If you're not saved, get saved. If you're not right, get right. You're a saint tonight, need to pray, you come. Whoever you are, wherever you're at tonight, I encourage you to come.
Amen.
If you need to pray, if there's a burden of prayer, a need of prayer, spirit of prayer on your heart tonight, I encourage you to come. Seek the Lord if you're lost tonight. And if you're a saint, do serve Him tonight. Do stand before Him in supplication, saying whenever you get ready, the altar's open if you need to pray tonight. Hallelujah. If you've been praying, it looks like all you can see is a smoke. Just keep praying.
Amen.
Because on the other side of that destruction, there may be deliverance.
Amen.
For that one you've been praying for.
Yes, sir.
Your eyes are just not open to it.
Yes, sir.
You're not standing at the right vantage point.
Right.
Just keep on praying. Oh, would you come while she sings tonight?
He's all I need.
What about it, sinner?
When I need
submit.
Someone to talk to.
Throw in the towel. Give up. Give over
He's
to Him.
He's always there to hear.
Say,
my
here
prayer.
I am, God.
Each
and everything that I've got. I'm leaving the tent door. I'm yours.
Every need.
Come on to Him.
He
tonight.
Will supply my thirsty soul.
Bow at His feet.
He'll satisfy.
With tears
He's
of repentance.
My everything. Yeah. And
serve
He's
him.
All
make sacrifice
I
to Him.
Need.
Stand under the tree with Him.
He comforts me.
Sat at the table and
when
be
I'm
satisfied.
Weary, he says,
stand before
pain
Him in supplication.
Fills
you need
my
to pray.
Longing,
obey the Lord now.
Time and time again.
Come on.
He's my soul's inspiration.
Is it well with your soul?
My heart,
is your heart right with God?
Consolation.
If not, step out and get in the altar tonight. Do what you know you want to do. Do what God is calling and bidding you to do tonight. Let God have His way. He's appeared to you. It's up to you now to leave the tent door and bow before Him. He came where you're at. Now will you run to Him?
He's all I need. I dare not turn to any other.
Would you come?
He's a friend.
As the Lord speaks to your heart, as you feel the Spirit of God wooing and drawing you, come on, step out.
And on him,
yield yourself to God. Don't hold back.
As time goes
don't hold
by,
out.
He's my all in all.
Go with God
and
tonight.
He's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary. Eases every pain. Fills my deepest longing. Time and time again. He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything. He's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, eases every pain, fills my deepest longing. Time and time again, he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything. He's all I need.